Nice.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how
yes.
are you?
I'm good.
Okay, great.
Amen. Yes.
My sister Camille. Bless your sister Eva. Good night, everybody.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Sister Camille. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Yes, so the cross still stands. Amen. The cross still stands. So we have so much to give God thanks for in spite of it. Yeah, because in truth and in fact, we never expect so much snow to be falling in Georgia. And it came, and as I look at it pouring down, it reminds me of when the children of Israel was going through the wilderness and God was falling manna from heaven, you know, and it just pours, and it just blew my mind, and just thinking about what was going on in the wilderness when the manna was falling down from heaven, you know, God is good, and it's a time that we have to reflect and remember our brothers and our sisters over there in California in the fire, you know, they lost a lot of stuff. You know, I think the dollar amount that is assessed so far is like $130 billion of damages so far. You know, people lost their homes, people are without, even the water supply is contaminated over there. And they have no light and stuff. So, you know, we have to remember them in our prayers, and we pray that missionaries from near and far will seize the initiative to go over there and witness to them. You know, it's a good time to present Christ to them in this time. You know, it reminds me of when Sodom and Gomorrah was burning down, you know, that unquenchable fire and stuff. So it's just part of it that we just grow compassion for them. We have to be compassionate for our brothers and our sisters. Show some empathy, you know, pray for them. Because we could be in the same situation like them. But it's because God's grace and mercy, you know, God's grace and mercy kept us and stuff. So we give God thanks for you all as you come on tonight. You know, come with a praise, come with your cups turned up. Come expecting something. You know, I remember my elder, in years gone by, he normally say, "Is what you put in, you get out." You know, if you put in nothing, you get out nothing. So what you put in is what you get out. So come with a praise, come with a heart of worship and thanksgiving. Amen. So with these few words, I want to welcome you to another Bible study night. I think someone else is trying to get on. I'm not sure who. Yeah. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We glorify you and we honor you, mighty God. We live in you and we breathe in you. We are your people, Lord, and you have not neglected us. Mighty Jesus. God, we thank you that you are powerful to save. You are powerful to deliver. There is nothing, Lord God, that you cannot do. Hallelujah. You are great, mighty God, and we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory because you are faithful and you are true to your people. Mighty God, we present this night's session into your hands. We come against every stumbling block in the name of Jesus. We come against every communication barriers in the name of Jesus. We lift up a standard against the plans of Satan, and we decree and we declare that we will have Bible study tonight. We decree and we declare, mighty God, that your word will go through with power and with authority. Yes, mighty God, and it will undo every plan of darkness. In the name of Jesus, we come with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude, knowing, mighty God, that you are among us to do good, that you stand for us, mighty God, and you are not against us, but you are with us, mighty God, to do great and marvelous things. We wait on you tonight, mighty God. We magnify and we glorify your name, because great is your faithfulness and worthy you are to be praised, in the name of Jesus. And so, mighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, my God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. So this evening we're still looking at the at our topic that we have been using for the past month or more. What's that topic?
Salvation.
Salvation. The plan of God's perfect plan of salvation. You know, it's so fitting and so important. It goes right through from Genesis to Revelation, journeyed long and wide from Genesis right down to Revelation. It tells of the salvation, the very theme. Yes, the very theme centered around St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we give God thanks. And we give him praise for that. Amen. Yeah, before we go into it, last week we looked at one of our patriots was Abraham. This week we're going to look at Isaac. We're just reading just a short excerpt on them so we can have an idea, you know, and that it can refresh our minds and we can know something more as we study the word of God. I'm going to invite Sister Camille to come and read that excerpt from about Isaac for us, the second patriarch that we're going to look at. Sister Camille, are you ready?
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Good night again, saints of God.
Good night. Amen. Night,
praise God. I read in Jesus' name. The patriarch Isaac. Isaac, son of Abraham and Sarah, is a significant figure in the biblical narrative. He was born as a miraculous response to God's promise to bless Abraham with numerous descendants. Isaac was a son of promise, born when his parents were old. One of the best known stories about Isaac is the episode in which he was almost sacrificed by his father Abraham in obedience to God's command. At the last moment, God provided a lamb as his substitute and showed his faithfulness to the covenant made with Abraham. Isaac grew up and became a man blessed by God. He married Rebekah, and together they had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Isaac faced family challenges and conflicts, including rivalry between his children and the disputes over the blessings and inheritance. Isaac is often remembered as an example of submission to God's will, like his father Abraham. His life was marked by a special connection with God and the continuation of divine promises made to Abraham. The story of Isaac is fundamental in the formation of the people of Israel, as it is an important link in the lineage that eventually led to the birth of Jesus Christ. His life teaches us about faith, obedience, and trust in God's promises. That's the patriarch Isaac.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Camille. Yes, so that's Isaac. And we see even there, we see salvation. We see God's plan in there, you know, when he provided the lamb in the ticket, so that instead of Isaac offered his son, this the Abraham. Lamb, Abraham. Abraham, yes, the lamb would be there too as a substitute. Amen. Just like Amen. For our sins, the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to cleanse us from all our sins. Amen. Yes. So I'm going to read tonight from St. John chapter 9. It's a parable of Jesus. It's a parable of Jesus when he healed that blind man. We're going to look in it, and we're going to see God's plan, part of God's plan of salvation in that story, you know, and we're going to discuss it as we go along, as we read from verse to verse. We're going to discuss it as we go along, and you can unmute your mic if you want to add in anything, if you want to share anything from it, if you want to, you know, comment on anything, just unmute and just, we're going to discuss it. Amen. All right, so St. John chapter 1, chapter 9, 1, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, that's an important question that the disciples asked, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, who did sin? Because many a times we face these challenges and stuff and difficulties, and people around us wonder if it's sin. We did sin that causes us to be going through some challenges and some difficulties in our lives and in our families and stuff. You know, but as we read further down, we see where Jesus said, neither he nor his parents had sin to cause that type of blindness on him, but it's so that the work of God can be manifested and stuff. So many a times we go through some situation, and it's not because of anything bad or wrong that we have done, but it's just for us to realize that in ourselves we cannot save ourselves, but we need to go to the blood. We need to go to Jesus so he can clean us up, and so he can give us the offer his redeeming presence that we need. Amen. In verse 3, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of his spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Shiloh, which by interpretation sent Shiloh. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You know, in this little part that we just read, we see where Jesus he spat on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And he take his spit and make clay with it from the ground, and he place it on the blind man's eye, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Shiloh. You know, that's if you look at it, it's a very powerful, that verse is very powerful, because that man is blind. That man was born blind, and he's blind at the moment. He just have the clay. He's just a blind man with a clay over his eye now. And he now is to find his way to that pool to wash. You know, that means at that very time, that blind man had friends around him that could take him to that pool, that could lead him to that pool to wash. Amen. And it just goes to show us that if you are blind, it's not wise to keep company with the blind. Keep company with one that can see, because if that blind man had only blind people around him, there would be no one to lead him to that pool to wash. he would not have gotten his deliverance that day. You know, so be mindful. You know, the Bible said that the blind cannot lead the blind. So always try to keep company with somebody who can uplift you, somebody who can motivate you, somebody who can help you along the way, somebody who can, who is interested in your breakthrough. If those, those company around that blind man wasn't interested in his breakthrough or for him to get well, maybe he would stop at the first water that they catch. They will not go all the way to that pool that Jesus referred to, Siloam. They will not go all the way down to Siloam. They will stop at any little water pipe or any little well that they catch along the way and say, oh, not going so far. Let's just wash him right here. You know, but those friends that that blind man had and those people that were around him were interested to see him getting his deliverance and his breakthrough. So they took him all the way down to that pool to wash. And as he washed, he came back clean. Amen? As he washed, he came back seen. In verse 8, we said, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clean and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Amen.
Everton.
Yes.
Could you
go ahead, Auntie.
Ask that person to mute his or her mic. And what I want to say is this lesson also teaches us faith and obedience, because, you know, he could say that wine don't touch my eyes, and maybe he could have refused to go and wash, but he never asked any question. He just went, and then he received the blessing, his healing. So sometimes the Holy Spirit say things to us, and we refuse. We think otherwise and we do otherwise. Whereas if we had followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we could be blessed.
Amen.
So here we can see faith. The man had faith in Jesus and he was obedient.
Yes, very good point, Auntie. He had faith and he was of obedience. And he went and washed. He didn't show the type of pride that Naaman showed. You remember Naaman, the leper, when he went down for to the prophet, Naaman the leper. Yes, he went down to Elisha. He was so proud that when the prophet sent him down to wash in the river, he never wanted to go down there to wash into River Jordan. He never wanted to go down there. He was so prideful. He wanted the prophet to come down and to speak to him and touch him in his condition, his leprous condition and stuff. And he refused to go down to wash in Jordan. He wanted to, he's wondering why, if he should wash, why don't the prophet send him up to where he's coming from, where there is better rivers like the Perez and the cleaner rivers up there and stuff. He wants to wash his dirty self in clean water.
Yes.
He didn't want to go down to Jordan to wash. And he was he was so prideful with it. He was so proud. He did not want to go down there. But we see with this blind man, he humbled himself and he went down to the pool to wash. Because he could say that, oh, Jesus is just speaking. I'm staying right here. Jesus wanted me to get well. He could just touch me. And I could speak the word and I could receive my sight. Why you have to mix the spit? Why you have to put the spit on my the clay on my eyes and then send me down? He know that I'm blind. How does he expect me to find my way down to Siloam? I don't even know what that place is. I don't even know what it looked like because I was born blind. You know?
Mm-hmm.
How Yes, I'm born blind. How could I know where to go, where to find it? But he figured himself his way out because he was in the right company. He was there at the right time with the right set of people that want to see him get his breakthrough. You know? Yes. If you're an eagle, you cannot remain with the chickens. You have to fly like an eagle. You have to go up. You have to soar like an eagle. And this blind man was keeping company with the right set of people that were interested in his deliverance. And he was obedient to the word of God. Go wash. Go wash. He could just wipe it off and just sit there and remain blind for the rest of his life. Yeah, he could just wipe it off. Or he could just, or his friends that were there with him could just take him to a little standpipe or a little well and just take some water and wash off it or whatever. But they did. His friends, he and his friends were completely obedient to the word of God. Yes, if the word of God tells us that all we need to get salvation is just to believe by faith. It's by faith. You know, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. It's a gift from God. Yes. You know, yes, Christians are not called to do good work in order to obtain salvation, but Christians are called to make sure that when you receive salvation, you do good works after that. It must show as a result of your good work. Amen. Good work doesn't call you to faith, but good work follows you when you come into the all room of faith. When you come to Jesus, good work must follow you.
Yes.
Yes. But the initial evidence, the initial coming to Christ is not of good work, as the Bible, as scripture tells us. It's not by your good work. Your good work cannot save you. But when you come to Christ, make sure that good work follow you. You know, don't be just a labor Christian and just accept anything that comes your way. It's a time now that you must persevere. It's a time now that you must go forward. It's a time that the fruit of the Spirit must be seen, manifested in your life. You know, it's a time that you must do exploits for Jesus. You know, yes. Yes, so good point. Good point, Auntie. That man, he was obedient. He was obedient. He listened to the, and he trusted. Yes, Sister Camille.
I just wanted to add, as I listened, you know, I think one of the most frustrating things for me is when I, like, you know, praying for salvation and the person not receiving it, and you pray over and over, and, you know, it would appear as if that person is not receiving that salvation. But as I listened to the word that you read, I realized that this blind man, he wanted it. And so it just goes to show, it doesn't matter how much we want it for that person. If the person doesn't want it or doesn't receive it, then the only thing we can do is to continue to pray. You know, it's not for us to become frustrated and to become like me becoming frustrated and asking God, then God, how long should I wait for this person to be saved, you know? But it's just for me to persevere in prayer and continue to pray until something breaks and it reaches a point where that person desires it. Because if they don't want it, there's nothing more I can do, you know? So I think the blind man, he wanted it. And that's what led him to that obedience, you know? And if our loved ones, if they don't want salvation, then we can only continue to pray for them until they get to that place when they want it, then that's when they will receive it.
Amen.
Yes, amen. They would rather to remain in darkness. Amen. You know, they'd rather to remain blind more than to just step out of their comfort zone. Step out of their comfort zone and just go the extra mile so they can receive salvation. You know, and if you're not careful, they will burden you down because you're going to wonder. Yes, they will burden you down. Because you're going to wonder, what is it that you're doing wrong? But remember, the scripture tells us, you know, that Paul plant and Apollos water, but it's God who gives the increase. You know, and he also said that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit. Yeah, by his spirit. So we're doing our part. But the person himself or herself have a part to play too. Because you can force the horse to the water, but you can't force him to drink it. You know, you can take the water to him, but you can't force him to drink it and stuff. That person have to realize that they need that gift of salvation. They need to be saved. You know, and it's only by your acknowledgement of that you need that change. That is going to happen. You know, unless you're going to just burden yourself down with interceding and praying and stuff. Don't stop. Don't get weary, but still continue praying, still continue interceding and stuff. But don't, you know, let God have his way. God knows how to get all his beloved children on the side of Calvary. You know, he knows how to do it. You know, he knows how to do it and stuff. But don't give up. One of the things that I look at, why I don't give up on anyone when I'm interceding for them, is when I look at see where I myself am coming from.
Oh God,
and yes, where I am coming from, and somebody prayed yes. for me earnestly.
Yes, you know, yes.
Earnestly. I know that maybe when Jesus see how earnestly that person was praying, Jesus now took the wheel. You know, Jesus took yes. the wheel. He interceded for me and take me on the side of Calvary yeah. where I can Amen. See myself, that when free yes. grace awoke me, you know, I could see clearly now and stuff.
Yes.
You know, you cannot impute salvation into somebody.
Yes.
You know, but Christ himself knows how to get each and every one of us. And if you are doing wrong and you continue to do it over and over again, and you have no conscience to know when to stop or to know to pull up your socks and stuff, something, either you're not a part of the group that John saw in the Revelation, the group that is so wide, so cannot be numbered,
the number.
Either you're not in that group or something, you know. Yes, it must, you have to really check yourself and see where you're destined to go. If you're continuously doing wrong and you're not being corrected or not even a little knowledge, a little something in your mind and say, you know that I need to break my fallow ground and seek for a difference, a change in my life, you know? Yes. So, still give the word to them, Sister Camille and my beloved. Give the word to them as much as you can, you know, whatever. Because in everything we do in this life or whatever we go through in this life, we can see Jesus in it if we are sensitive to the blessed Holy Spirit. So if the sun is shining, you can say, thank God for the sunshine. If the rain is falling, thank God for the rain shine. The rain. You know, whatever it is.
Amen.
You know, you can say, thank God. Ascribe every praise to him. You know, ascribe every praise to him. And we will realize, that person will realize, will get a word from that and stuff. You know, and Sister Camille, one of the best witnesses that I find to be effective, you know, is lifestyle witnessing, you know. Let your life speak. Let the life that you live speak.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Let the life that you live speak. It speaks volume, you know. When we stand up for righteousness, you know, you don't have to say even a word. Just let your life speak for what your assuasion is. Let your life speak for who you pledge your allegiance to. You know, it's going to make all the difference. And then that same unsaved or whatever is going to come to you after a while and said, how come you can keep so calm in this storm? How comes we all are going through stuff like this and you can still have a smile on your face? What is it that you're doing? I need to taste what you're feasting on so that I can be like you one day. You know, yeah, so there's more than one way. And remember too, my brothers and sisters, the word of God tells us that a man that wins soul is wise.
Wise. Mm-hmm.
It takes wisdom to get through to the unseen. You know, it takes much wisdom. You hear what my friend, Brother Paul said, Apostle Paul? Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. Yeah, he become all things to all men that he might win some in all of that and stuff. So it just goes to show that we have to go we ourselves have to come out of our comfort zone in order to reach soul and get them and stuff. Amen. All right. Amen. So the blind man, he was led to the pool and he washed there. Obedience, complete obedience to Christ and determination to get out of his circumstances. He washed there and he was made clean. And verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisee that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Hear that verse? Verse 14. It was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. That day like today, a Saturday. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I wash, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what seest thou of him that he had opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents to him and that has received his sight.
They were blind.
Yeah, so that's a miracle. That's a miracle that happened right there. I'm just reading through all the story and unfolds to let it make sense. I just don't want to take out any one verse. I want you to see the lineup of where it's coming from. You know, the lineup of where it's coming from. Many a times, you know that the greatest miracle that happened to us is when we receive salvation.
Yes, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle, you know, when we look back and see where we're coming from and where we are now, a complete turnaround. You know, when we look back and see that Jesus really saved us and the things that we would be doing, we're not doing them anymore, but we are doing works of the cross now. We are doing works of Calvary. We are doing work of God now. Our life has been changed completely. And we say to ourselves, this must be God. You know, it's a miracle. You know, when he took us up and he washed us. Mind you, you know.
Oh, yes.
Mind you, how messy and dirty we were. I know, deep in sin we were. And he washed you. When Jesus saved you, I'm telling it. Did you see a pan of water that he washed you in?
No.
Did you see the blood that he washed you in?
No.
Did you see the cloth? Did you see the cloth that he used to wash you?
Jesus.
Nothing was there. But by faith, you received that washing and that cleansing by faith.
Yes.
You know, it's a spiritual work that is done on the inside of you.
Miracle.
It's a miracle. You know, and you're really cleansed. You're really clean. You know? And it gives you no appetite for the things that you used to do anymore. It gives you no appetite for sin anymore. You're completely focused on Christ, the solid rock you now stand. And you regard all other ground as sinking sand. Yes. Many of you here that is online would know me when I was drinking rum.
God, Jesus.
Many of you here would know me when I was drinking rum and being drunk.
The blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Last man standing.
They used to call me the last man standing.
I finished the bottle.
I drink the best rum. The most expensive rum. This guy drinking.
Yes.
This guy drinking. I found comfort. Glory. I found comfort drinking that rum. And I lick my tongue when I'm drinking it. But when Jesus came into my soul and rescued me, it's all different. It turned all the way around. Yes, Sister Lyria came here already. Sister Lyria came to my house already and see me in action. See me in action, drinking my rum in my filter.
Yes.
Yes.
Other plans standing.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. And yes. And he touched me.
God be the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. He touched me that I have no more appetite. I have no more appetite for that thing. Yes. Amen, Sister Eva. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
You're not even want to see battle.
No, I have no more appetite. I have no more appetite for it. Because my appetite now is for more of Christ. It's no more for the things. It's no more for that rum. It's no more for I find no comfort in that anymore. I don't want it anymore. All I want now is to have and more of him. Yes, so that's a mighty work of miracle that took place when you receive Christ full blown in your life. You know? And stuff. So when I tell you that throughout that time and throughout it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word. And because of that, I'm humbled to know that it's not by my own strength that I am saved, but it's by Christ himself who come and dwell in me and change my life. And it doesn't just happen like that. It happened when I realized that I needed to be saved. I needed a change. I realized when death faced me, when your situation face you and you're looking at it straight in your eyes and you say, who is going to help me to cross Calvary, to cross Jordan River? Who is going to help me to cross? I cannot cross my Jordan alone. Yeah, I must have the Savior with me because I dare not walk alone. You realize that you need that salvation, you need that help, and you cannot do it all alone. And you hear that Jesus is offering it free of cost. All you need to do is just to believe, and the work of Calvary will take place in your life.
Amen.
Yeah. All you need is to just say, yes, I surrender. Just give him all to him. I freely give. You know, that's a great miracle right there. And as the days goes by and the months goes by and the years goes by and you look back and you realize where he has brought you from and you look back and realize what he has been doing in your life, it's a great work of miracle.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
And so they question the blind man because they can't believe that he is now seeing. He's now seeing the light. You know, and it's so with us as children of God. We were blind and lost in sin and despair and everything. It's like a veil was over our eyes. We couldn't see clearly because we were blinded by the sins of this world. And when Jesus came into our life and removed the scales from our eyes, remove the scales and we can see clearly. A lot of people who knew us is not going to believe right away that we are saved. They're going to put days upon our life and say, give him time. By next week, this time, we will be drinking rum again.
Yes.
Give him time. By next month, he'll be cursing again. Give him time. Amen. By next month, he'll be in the clubs again. You know, they're not going to believe. They don't know the authority because they weren't there the night when Jesus saved you. They weren't there with you when you were going through your midnight hours and through your situation. They don't know the price of the oil that was in your alabaster box. The price of the oil that was broken before Jesus' feet. When you open that oil and let go of all your prized possession, everything that was all dear to you, you break it before him and you let it go. Just let it go and give your full attention to the man of Calvary, the man who purchased your life. He said that the price that he paid is a very expensive price for you and I. The cost of salvation, it goes through blood. And those that knew us, when we were broke, busted, and disgusted, they knew us when we were torn up from the floor up. They knew us then. And they want for us to remain in that same position as long as ever. You know? And then, and in that point, when you're broke, busted, and disgusted, you have a lot of friends would come around and stuff. But as soon as you start to hold on to the old rugged cross and change your lifestyle, and change it for good and start to climb up. They leave
you.
Yeah, it's the road to Calvary and from Calvary to glory is a very lonely road. It's a road that you're going to realize that to run with the crowd is human, but it's divine to stand alone.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a time that you realize that your best moments are when you're alone with God. It's not when you're out there in the open. It's not when you're exposed to other people's visage of you. But it's when you're alone with God. That's when you get to get the full blown in pouring of his Holy Spirit upon you. When you can freely let him indulge in your spirit and remove from you every hindrance and set you straight and clean. You know, when you can receive of him in that way, you know, those are your best moments. It's not when you're out, it's when you're locked in with Christ. You know, because he's your only solace at that point. People reject you then. You're being rejected. Just like how they're rejecting Christ, they will reject you just the same. You know? Yes, sometimes you're wondering how comes they cannot see as you see. You're presenting Christ to them. You're presenting Christ to them, the one who transformed your life. And you could tell them right round the clock and they're not hearing a biscuit of what you're saying because they have not been touched by the blood. You know what it is because what you're experiencing is spiritual. And the carnal mind cannot understand the spiritual things that is happening. Sometimes you can't find nobody to talk to about your spiritual experience because It is like nonsense to them. You know, you have to find somebody that has been touched by the Spirit of Almighty God for them to understand what you're going through. The natural mind cannot understand it. And if you're not careful, they're going to try to derail you from your purpose. They're going to try to derail you from your destiny. They're not going to identify with what you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, they're not going to be identified with you because you're in a different sphere of life. You're in a different atmosphere. You know, you're in an atmosphere where neither doubt nor fear arise. You're in an atmosphere that is secluded by Jesus Christ's blood and his righteousness. You know, and you are held there for a purpose. You know, you're held there for a purpose. So when you come to Christ, good work must follow you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yes, good work must follow you. You know, good work must follow you. Yes. So they did not know by what means this blind man received his sight. But he's going to tell you. He's going to tell them, I receive. Yes. And he said unto them, saying, that's the Pharisee talking to the parents now. Is this your son who was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees? He now sees. We know not. Or who has opened his eyes? We know not. And we know that that's a lie. He said, who has opened his eyes? We know that that's a lie because this son, born blind, he's going to report to his parents because now he's going to see his parents face to face. He's not going to see them as they are and stuff. And he's going to tell them that it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ is the one that touched him, that put the clay on his eyes and tell him to go wash. You know, but they tell the Pharisees that they know not who opened his eyes. They say we know not. But further down we're gonna see. And they went and he said, he is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself.
Yes.
He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they fear the Jew. Hear this. They fear the Jew. That's the Pharisees. No? They fear the Jew, for the Jew had agreed already that if any man does confess that he was Christ, he would put them out of the camp of the synagogue.
Yes.
So those people prefer to be religious fanatics more than to accept. Yeah, religion. They want to be accepted in religion. They want religion. They want to be a part of the synagogue. They want to go into the temple and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they do not want to be exiled from the temple, but they want to go in there. And they know that the Jews, the Pharisees, have said that if they acknowledge Jesus, then they're going to put them out. And they would rather. They'd rather to stay in there and to denounce the very God who opened their son's eye that he can see. You know, they say ask him. But here's what the young man said. I tell you, the Bible, sometimes you read in the Bible, you know, it brings joy and laughter. It brings gladness. You know, when you understand the word, when you start to read the word, it lets you just find yourself in awe. You said, really? Really now? You know? Really now? But here the strong arguments and the strong debate that is taking on there. This that I'm reading is just an excerpt from the Bible. It's just to whet your appetite. Just to whet your appetite to read more and to learn more of Jesus and what he has been, what he's capable of doing. He makes people wonder. He makes people wonder, you know, and stuff. So here in verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So he said, the Pharisees now are saying, give God the praise. Because we know that this man, Jesus, who touched your eyes, who healed you, is a sinner. Hear the blind man now. The blind man answered and said, he's not blind anymore, he's seeing now. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, I don't need no further argument. It is enough that Jesus died and that he's died for me. So you don't come tell me anything because I know what I am feeling. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was in darkness, but now I'm in the light. So all I get in the light, don't tell me that I came through Buddha. Don't tell me that I come through Muhammad. Don't tell me that I come through Allah. I come through the blood. I come through Jesus Christ. So don't come present confusion and confusion to me. Don't come present no other day of worship to me or whatever. I worship right through the week. I worship right through. Don't tell me that I need to set aside a certain day to worship. My worship has no limitation to this. My worship is in spirit and in truth because the God of my worship, the Jesus of my worship, the Holy Spirit of my worship lives within me and I can worship anywhere, anytime. Well, amen?
Controversy.
Yes. So that's the liberty that I have with Jesus living on the inside of me. I can worship anywhere because I know that I was blind, but now I see. And I know who set me free. I know I asked Jesus to come live in my heart. And he came and he lived there. So don't present Allah or Muhammad or none of those religion. Don't tell me about any cow or any calf that I must worship. Don't tell me about any special day or no new moon or no full moon. Don't tell me about any farm breeders or any seaman or whatever. You know, there's a farm in Gilead. Jesus Christ the righteous is the one that has set me free. Don't give me no other argument. I don't need no other argument. Don't tell me any other thing. It is enough what I know. What I know is enough. You know? And I'm going to hold on to what I know because who the Son set free is free indeed. And there is therefore now no condemnation.
To them that are in Christ Jesus.
No condemnation. Say if you are free, remain free. Don't go back again into bondage. You know?
Right.
Yes. Amen. Yes. He answered. He said, I see. Then they that, yes, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? We have seen them asking this question over and over again, the Pharisees. And one theologian referred to the Pharisees as too far to see. They're not seen because they're too far to see. Pharisees, they're too far to see. And to the Sadducees, they said they're too sad to see. So these are the Pharisees that are too far to see. How many times they asked the blind man the same question? Who healed you? What did he do? Here they're asking him again. And the blind man answered, I told you already. And you did not hear me. Wherefore would you hear again? And the blind man is saying in essence, if I tell you again, would you become his disciples too?
What a controversy.
Yes, the man is set free. The man is in liberty all. The man has been relieved from his blindness. And this is the criticism that he's receiving from the world around him. This is the criticism that he's received from those around him that would pass him blind and give him money or give him food to eat. Now he's able to fend for himself because the blood of Jesus has set him free. Now he's able, he is delivered. He's delivered from his blindness. And this is the type of opposition that he's coming up against and stuff. As if You know, the man is now seen. That's the greatest thing. Receive him.
Yes.
Yes, receive him. You know, man. So he's not anymore a blind man, but he's the man that is seen. Just like the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She went there with the other woman with the issue of blood. And when she got up from her knees, when she got up from here, she was crawling to Jesus. It wasn't no more the woman with the issue of blood, but it was the woman with the blood of Jesus all over her.
Oh, yes.
She became the woman with the blood all over her. So just like this blind man, he came to Jesus blind, but when he left, he's able to see. And the redemption power of the blood of the Lamb is still alive and well. It reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. It brings strength still from day to day, and it never loses power. And we want to give God thanks that the blood prevails. Yes, we give God thanks that the blood is still available and he's still seeking and saving that which was lost, and he's still knocking at heart's door, and he still makes a difference. But you and I have to first acknowledge that we need a savior. We need to be saved. And there's so much benefit that comes with salvation. You know, so much benefits that come with salvation. When you if you're here tonight and you're unsaved, come taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, come taste and see that he is good. And when he starts to load you, the word of God tells us that he loads you daily with benefits. When he starts to load you daily with those benefits, you're going to look back and you're going to say to yourself, I should have been a part of Christendom a long time. It's going to bring tears to your eyes to know all that you have been missing out. And what if you had transitioned from this life to the next life without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What if? You know, you're going to look back and say, what if? And you're going to look back and say, God, you're truly great, and you're greatly to be praised. I worship you, because when I was sinking deep in sin, you stretched down your nail-scarred hand and you rescued me. You plucked me up and you placed my feet now on the rock to stay. Now I can rejoice and be glad in a full and free salvation, because he has set me free. He has redeemed me. He has opened his arms and welcomed me. Look at what I was doing. Look at where I was. Look at how I treated him. Yet he knew me. Yet he knew me. He knew me. And he rescued me right in the brink of time. It's something to rejoice about when you receive that full gift, that free gift of salvation, and see how God can clean up a life that is sweetly yielded to him. It's a rejoicing moment, and angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance.
One sin,
you know, because it's an individual position. Christianity, salvation is an individual position. I'm not saved because my mother is saved. I'm not saved because my father is saved. I'm not saved because my brother is saved. I am saved because I accepted the free gift of salvation. I am saved because I accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. It's not a universal save. It's an individual save. It's an individual salvation. It's a personal calling. He knocked on your heart's door. He said, I knock on your heart door. And if any man open, I will come in and I will sup with him. You know, he said, I will come in and I will sup with him. Not with everybody, but with him. It's an individual calling. And we have to accept it individually. You know, as Sister Camille was saying, she with the unsaved and how to get them over and whatever. It's an individual thing for them. You know, you only can, your word that you witness to them with, it's going to be a testimony. And when they do cross over, they're going to remember every word that you said and stuff. So don't stop spreading the good news of salvation. Amen. We are 3 minutes over our time and we've come to the end of another Bible study. I want to welcome Elder Edwards. Elder Edwards, we welcome you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for having me. I'm encouraged by the word. And I also this Bible that I am not to keep on the unsaved. Because the burden that even though man has that country Jesus where he is, right, he's keeping his salvation. Because when I read further down in the passage, I realized that after they came, Jesus saw him and asked him if he believed on the Son of God. And he answered, "Who is the Lord that I believe?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou both seen, it is he that talketh with thee." So even though he had that contact with Jesus, he did recognize him. So sometimes when the unsaved are not surrendered, they don't get that connection as if they trust the person. So I'm happy here. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen, Elder Edwards. Yes, yes, for real. Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I love that. Yes. Jesus met with him and identified himself to him, and the man was ready to receive the fullness of the Godhead. You know, he was ready. He was at that point that he was ready. You know, something good has happened. And you know, as I said that, Elder Edwards, I'm not going to take up much more of the time, but I just want to make this point across as it comes to me. The Word of God tells us that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. This was something good that was done to this, that blind man. He received his sight. That's a major goodness that has happened to him. He has received his sight. And you see what? You see, he's led by example. That man is someone to be admired. He led by example. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Many a times, as I said before in this forum, that you see some people and they can tell you how good God is and yet they are unsaved. Oh, yes, God is so good, man. And yet they are unsaved. You know, they have been a form of godliness, but denying the very power of Almighty God. You know, and it's like they have been itchy ears and stuff, but God is good. Amen. 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 Yes, I want to welcome every first time, second time. I want to welcome everyone online. I'm not seeing if there's anyone else that I'm leaving out that has been here for the first time and stuff. But God bless you all, and God watch between us, and you know, keep us by his dear side, because if every time we need him, it is now. Anyone have anything to say before we close? Anything to add? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let us pray as we close out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, mighty God. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for your word. Your word, mighty God, give direction. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joint and the marrow. It's a discerner of our thought and the very intention of our heart. We thank you, Lord God, that we can depend on your word. Sometimes, mighty God, it let us, the light that comes from your word, it was in such a way, Lord, that sometimes it causes us to just laugh. Sometimes it causes us to cry. Sometimes it causes us, mighty God, to be so sad. Sometimes it causes all sorts of emotion coming up, oh God. But one thing for sure, we are glad that you stand by your word. You said, mighty God, that your word won't return unto your void, but it will accomplish the purpose of which you sent it for. And I thank you that even now, mighty God, you're using your word to meet your people at the point of need. Wherever, mighty God, it is needed in a life, you're able, mighty God, to place it just there, mighty God, to bring forth fruit and to show the power of your holiness. Mighty God, we just want to thank you and we praise you, mighty God, that we stand firm on your word. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will reach down your nail scarred hand even now. Touch places and inside of us, mighty God, that no human could ever touch. Yes, mighty God, I pray, mighty God, that you will heal every sick in the name of Jesus, in our family members, mighty God, in our own bodies, mighty God, in our surrounding. I pray, mighty God, just like how you touched that blind man, mighty God, I pray that souls around us, mighty God, will be obedient and receptive to your word, obedient and receptive to your directive, mighty God, so Lord God, they can get a deliverance in the name of Jesus. Yes, mighty God, we have seen you through scriptures. You have done so much miracles, mighty God, because who, Lord God, in the natural mind and in the natural mind would really look at a blind man and say, go wash? Who would look at a man that is lame and say, take up your bed and walk? Who would look, Lord, you have done so many miracles, and Lord, when it happened, all we can do is just rejoice and be glad, because you're still doing miracles even now, Lord. And we are glad that we are a part of the family of God, joined here with Jesus, cleansed by your blood. We thank you, mighty God, that you have afforded us this privilege to be called sons of God. Thank you, mighty God, that you have afforded us this privilege to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I praise you, mighty God, and I thank you, Jesus, for your saving grace and your tender mercies. Lord, as we leave from here, I pray, God, that you will dismiss us with your choicest blessing. I pray, mighty God, that blessing will overflow in our household and in our surrounding. I pray, mighty God, that there will be no lack among us. Just like, mighty God, in the book of Acts, that the believers, they had everything in common. There was no lack among them. I pray, mighty God, that you will cause there to be an anointing upon our lives. Yes, Lord, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I pray, mighty God, that we will leave, mighty God, empowered and energized, knowing, mighty God, that we will do exploits in your name. We thank you for the authority that you have given unto us, mighty God, to bind and to loose. We thank you, mighty God, that you will not withhold anything that is good from us, mighty God. If we ask you for bread, you're not going to give us a serpent, but mighty God, you will give us all good gifts that comes from you. We thank you, mighty God, that our promotion, it comes not from the east nor from the west, but it comes from you, Jesus. We are glad, Lord, to be a part of the family of God. Thank you, mighty God, for every individual, every all soul that is represented here tonight. I pray, mighty God, that your choicest blessing just cover us, Lord, and give us the liberty to worship and to praise you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Greet somebody as you go in the name of Jesus. Greet somebody as you go. God has been good.
Amen. Good to everyone on here.
Amen, Sister Lyria. God bless. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Bless you, everyone. God bless you.
Bless you, Sister Camille. Sister Jackie.
Good night.
Welcome,
everyone.
Sister Jackie. I know you had a wonderful vacation in Jamaica.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yes, I know you. Yes, it was It's always good to meet with families and friends, you know? Yes, and to enjoy their presence.
That is right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Sister Terry, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Yes, Brother Emmanuel.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Sister Joan. Bless you, Sister Joan.
Good night.
Mommy Bright. Sister Eva. Blessing, 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 blessing. Yes.
Bless
yes, my sister Jackie, give my regards to Brother Adrian. Tell him that you're here. Yes, and okay. We have him in prayer. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Also, Sister Lyra, give my regards to Brother Andrew.
I will. He's not right here right now.
Yes, let him know. Let him know that we love him with the love of the Lord. And yes. Yes. You know. Amen.
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 Sister Dimple, I see you there.
Okay. Good night.
I miss you over the past few weeks. Yes. Yes, God is good. I'm happy you're able to join tonight. And to God be the glory. Give your husband my regards for me. You know, and tell him that we're looking forward for him to come on one of these Saturday.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Auntie Lynette. Hope to see you soon.
God bless you all.
All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.